Hi, I'm Jonathan Lyons, and I'm the Program Manager for Azure Remote Rendering. I'm so excited for the chance to talk to you about our service today. This event is the first time we're talking publicly about Azure Remote Rendering since we announced the service in February of 2019. I'm thrilled that we're getting this opportunity at MR Dev Days because we created the service specifically to help developers like you build amazing mixed reality apps. We'll begin with an introduction to the service. Then I'll hand it over to Christopher, who will give you a demo of what ARR can do with one of our sample apps. Finally, Mark will walk you step-by-step through creating a new app with Azure Remote Rendering in Unity. Azure Remote Rendering is Microsoft's newest mixed reality service, and it just entered public preview in April, so that means it's available for all of you to go try right now. With ARR, you can render high-quality, interactive 3D content in Azure, and stream it to devices like HoloLens 2 in real time. This lets you experience your 3D content in mixed reality with full detail and no compromises. You can go beyond the limitations of edge devices that are constrained by their power supply and form factor. Most importantly, we offer a powerful SDK that makes this easy for you to integrate into your apps. To start, let's take a look at this 3D model. This is a 16 million polygon model of an engine that not only has a ton of detail on the outside, but it also has a ton of detail on the inside. If you look closely, you can see every bolt, every belt, and every weld. As enterprises around the world move to take advantage of mixed reality, they're looking to view and interact with models just like this one. If a designer, engineer, or customer could interact with models like this one on HoloLens 2, it would unlock a ton of business value. Unfortunately, while HoloLens 2 is an amazing untethered computer, it's still limited in its processing power to the capabilities of a mobile, battery-powered device. That means it can't render 16 million polygons in stereo at 60 frames per second. It can really do closer to 250,000 polygons. To work around this problem, designers and developers have traditionally resorted to a process called decimation, where detail is removed from a model to make it render faster. Unfortunately, in business scenarios, it's often the case that every detail matters. If we were to decimate this model down to about 250,000 triangles, you'd get something like this on the right. This would run on a HoloLens 2, but it's not a model that you could use for a design review or to sell to a customer. The polygon limit is a blocker for key mixed reality scenarios. And this is where Azure Remote Rendering comes in. Azure Remote Rendering uses powerful GPUs in Azure, coupled with a highly optimized renderer to render even the most complex 3D models. If we look at HoloLens 2, we mentioned that it can render about 250,000 polygons. With standard Azure Remote Rendering, we let you go well beyond that up to 20 million polygons. That's 80 times more. But a lot of enterprise models are much bigger than that. 50 million polygons, 100 million polygons, or even hundreds of millions of polygons. For that, we offer premium remote rendering with 42 teraflops of computing power capable of rendering hundreds of millions of polygons in real time. We make it super easy to integrate ARR into your application. Let's take a look at the workflow. First, you upload your models to Azure Blob Storage. We accept both FBX and GLTF models. Next, your application or service calls an API to convert the model into our runtime format. This format is needed to make rendering as efficient as possible at runtime. Once the model is converted, we write the converted model back to your blob storage, so models at rest always stay in your blob storage. When you're ready to render, your app calls another API to start a rendering server. This is where you pick standard or premium remote rendering. The server you pick is then available for you to load and render your models. When rendering, the server sends rendered frames back into your application running locally on the device. And once it gets back there, those frames are composited with any local holograms that you might have in your scene. So you can truly mix and match remote holograms for high poly content and local holograms for things like menus and smaller models that can render on the device. And of course, our SDK makes this all super simple for developers like you to integrate. If you're a Unity developer, you can work with remote holograms just like normal game objects. In a few minutes, Mark will show you exactly how you do that. ARR is in preview right now, and you can see our current prices here. These are discounted prices for preview, and they will change when the service reaches general availability. With ARR, you pay for rendering time, and you pay for asset conversions. So you pay only for what you use. Rendering time starts when you allocate a server, and it ends when the server is deallocated. And at the time when you allocate the server, that's when you decide if you want standard or premium. As a developer, standard is a great way to go to iterate on your application, and you can easily switch to premium later to test with larger models. Some questions we often get asked: where is Azure Remote Rendering available? We're currently in 4 regions for public preview: West US 2, East US, West Europe, and Southeast Asia, but we will be expanding to more regions around the globe as we head towards general availability. We support 2 devices today, obviously HoloLens 2, but we also support desktop Windows, so you can write an application that will run on desktop Windows and use Azure Remote Rendering. This is useful if you want to have a view of a model up on a projector when a bunch of people are wearing a HoloLens. It's also useful if you have low-powered laptops and Windows tablets that can't render super high-poly content. You can use Azure Remote Rendering to stream it down to those laptops for users to interact with. We often get asked what kind of network you need to use Azure Remote Rendering. Our recommendations and minimums are here, but since we're still in public preview, we want to hear your feedback. Go try it on different networks and tell us what your experience is. We want to hear more so we can refine these to be closer to what you're actually seeing in the real world. We get asked if folks can run ARR on-prem. Today, we don't support solutions like Stack or Edge, but it is something we're looking at for a future update. And if 2 HoloLenses want to use ARR at once, 2 or more, imagine you have a collaboration scenario with a bunch of people all looking at the same model. As developers, you build this shared experience just like you would without Azure Remote Rendering. You can use Azure Spatial Anchors for alignment, and you can use the networking solution of your choice to keep everything in sync. And each HoloLens just connects to its own server. And finally, we support FBX and GLTF models. For more information, check out the general information page at the top link. This is where you'll also find the pricing that I shared with you. Please also go check out our documentation. We've got a lot of things there to help you get started as a developer, and send us feedback on the docs. We're still in preview, and we want your feedback to help us make the documentation better, just like we make the product better. Find us on GitHub. We've got all of our samples published there. You can also log GitHub issues if you run into any issues while using the service. Our team hangs out in the Hello Developers Slack. Come find us on there and say hi. We want to hear what you think of Azure Remote Rendering. Share videos of projects you're building. Just let us know how you're using the service and what you'd like to see us do to make it better. You can also send feedback and ask questions on Stack Overflow. Tag it with Azure Remote Rendering. We're watching that as well. And finally, for feedback, please use our Azure feedback link below. This is a place where you can go nominate new ideas, ask us for new devices, new regions, new features, anything you'd like to see us add to the service, and you can also vote on other people's ideas so we can see what's most important to members of the community. Thank you so much for joining us. I am so excited to see what this group of people creates with Azure Remote Rendering, and now I will hand it over to Christopher, who will show you what ARR can do in one of our sample apps. Thanks again.
Hello, my name is Christopher Mantai, and I'll be demonstrating the Azure Remote Rendering Showcase app. As the name suggests, it demonstrates various features of Azure Remote Rendering. It is built in Unity using MRTK. Let's start by loading a model. For example, we can load the engine model that is built in and is mostly used for demonstration purposes. There we go. Now that the engine is loaded, we might want to know if the engine is assembled correctly, so we would like to take a peek inside. One way to do that would be to move all the individual pieces to have a look inside of the engine. As that might take a while, alternatively, we can programmatically move all the pieces to explode the engine. This also gives us a nice opportunity to show that locally rendered content, like this menu, and remote rendered content like this piece here nicely composite into the same frame. Now it would take me quite a while to reassemble the engine one piece at a time. So alternatively, we can just revert what we did and start from the original state of the engine. An alternative way to look inside the engine would be to take a cut plane and slice through the model. This allows us to take a look inside of the engine without actually taking apart the engine piece by piece. Now that we've loaded the engine, we may want to load another model so we have a car that we can place our engine into. So let's do that and load another model. This car is pretty big, so let's scale it down so it actually fits into my little room here. There we go. Now the car's a little bit dark, so what we could do is we could recolor the car with a brighter paint, like this for example. Or alternatively, what we can also do is just load a different environment that is generally brighter, like this one. Now that we've loaded our car, let's take off this piece and place our engine into it. Now the engine doesn't quite fit, so luckily Azure Remote Rendering allows us to transform any remote object as you would expect from a locally rendered object. So let's just scale it down a little bit, rotate it a bit, and place it inside of our engine. Close enough. Let's put the cover back on our car, and I'm not a car mechanic, but I think this is good enough for a demonstration. Thank you very much for watching. Bye.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm a dev lead on Azure Remote Rendering, and I want to give you today a quick tour on how first to create a remote rendering account in the Azure portal. This is needed to create rendering sessions, convert models, etc. This is your access key to all things Azure Remote Rendering. And then I will continue with a quick coding sample on how to build a Unity application from scratch that connects to a remote rendering server and loads one of our sample models. So let's get started. I'm in the Azure portal. I'm in the new resource creation panel. So it's very simple. Just search for remote rendering. Autocomplete works awesome. So create. You have more information here, obviously. Documentation, pricing, all that good stuff. Definitely use these links. But for now, we create the account. So this is the remote rendering demo account. That's my subscription in which I create one. And I need a new resource group, remote rendering demo. Okay, click new. And that's already it. It's already started the deployment of the resource. It would just take a couple minutes or even seconds, hopefully. And then we're good to go. That's all you need to do for now. Deployment succeeded, resource complete. Awesome. That's quick. So first things first, you can already see the account ID here. We will need that. So we'll copy that off to the side so that we have access to it later. And then under access keys here, you will find your primary and your secondary key. We will use the primary key today. Having two keys is good for rotating keys, obviously. And that's already it. We can basically go over to Unity. And no, these login details will not work when you see this video, because I will have deleted this account. You really need to create your own. So, see you in a second on the Unity side. I just want to quickly show you what we're basically following today. So this is part of our documentation. That's the tutorial of setting up a Unity project from scratch. I will do a bit of an abridged version to keep time in check. But if you need any more details or links to software you need, etc., please refer to the documentation. It contains lots of useful information in it. So let's just quickly check that we have all the necessary prerequisites. The account information, we just did that. I definitely have this Windows SDK installed. I am on the latest version of Visual Studio 2019. You can use the community version if you don't have any other license for it. Git, Unity itself is installed. You can already see it's open in my taskbar. Then I have the UWP support and the IL2 CPP support. That's obviously necessary if you want to deploy on HoloLens. So, yeah, let's actually do the work in Unity. So, I have the Unity Hub open here. I have my account details sent here because we will need them later. So, basically, let's do this. So, we start with new Unity 2019 3.3. Newer versions are fine as well. We want a 3D project, and this is the remote rendering demo. No big surprises there. And we just put this on my D drive. Okay, that will take a second for Unity to initialize. Okay, so Unity has imported all necessary things to make our 3D scene work. So this is good. The first thing we're actually going to do is to edit our project manifest file to include a reference to the remote rendering package so that you can access our SDK easily. So just go to your project folder. I already went there. The remote rendering demo, that was just where we created the project a second ago. And then we go to packages and go to the manifest file and open that. So you can see these are all the dependencies that Unity adds by default. We want to add two dependencies today, and this is the Microsoft remote rendering package. So we go in com.microsoft.azure.remoterendering, and at the time I'm recording this, 0.1.27 is the most up-to-date version. You can add this and then update in Unity, or you can check our GitHub releases to get the latest information. So we want to add actually something else from Unity this time. The scriptable render pipelines, we recommend to use them for performance reasons. Azure Remote Rendering works with also the standard pipeline, but this is the recommended way to do it, so I will do this now. And we go for 7.1, so 2.1, perfect. So another thing we need to add, and I will shamelessly copy that, is a registry we need to add, because obviously our remote rendering package here is not distributed by Unity. We have a separate bin tray for that, comes as an NPM package, and we just add this in here so that Unity can find our package. So checking that everything is correct, looks good, saving that, and Unity already reloads, so all good. Will just take a second, and then we can check if everything was imported correctly. Okay, so let's see. In the package list, we have the Microsoft Azure Remote Rendering project and the Universal Render Pipeline. Awesome. So everything seems to be there. We already got our new remote rendering menu up here, so everything seems to be working fine. So the next step is actually to configure a couple things in the Unity scene, in the settings, to make remote rendering work correctly and performant. So we will do that. If you remember the documentation page I showed earlier, it has all these steps laid out in detail, but we can actually cheat a bit since we added recently this validate project method in the menu for remote rendering. You can see I currently have to click fix here because the selected build platform must be UWP. Okay, that's done. Awesome. So now it will tell me required things that need to be set up correctly and recommended things. So this is also updated every time you change things, so it's very easy to validate that your project is still set up correctly if you made changes outside of this dialog, for example. So let's enable VR support. We definitely want single pass instant stereo rendering for stereo rendering on HoloLens. It's the fastest way to do it. We need the Windows Mixed Reality SDK added to the virtual reality SDKs. Then we want to use holographic device family. We need a solid clear color on the main camera. We want to set it to black. Since remote rendering obviously renders in the cloud, we need internet client capability. And for debugging, the client server capability is also very good. Then you may know the universal render pipeline I mentioned previously. Let's enable that. Let's set a sensible far clipping plane and set the depth buffer to 16-bit. This is not necessary for a desktop application necessarily, but on HoloLens this gives you a really nice performance benefit. And then for development purposes, let's also enable the private network client server capability. And that's it. We have check marks all across the board, so our project is actually set up correctly now, and we can go and add some scripts to actually connect to the remote rendering service. Okay, so to add the script, we just create a new folder here in the assets folder, scripts. Always good to organize things. Create C# script. That is the remote rendering script. Alright, let's open the script. Just double click it and Visual Studio will open. Perfect, there we have our script and we can begin working now. So let's first start adding some usings so we can access all the remote rendering features we need. So we have the Microsoft Azure Remote Rendering namespace and we have the Microsoft Azure Remote Rendering Unity namespace. And we will need this one as well. So basically the remote rendering SDK on the C# side consists of a generic C# SDK, so if you want to create a C# application you can use that, and then we have a Unity layer on top that it makes it very easy to use from Unity. Okay, so let's get rid of the default implementations and add a small helper. So the Azure Remote Rendering Unity SDK comes with the rService Unity component. This is a component which manages session state, manages action access, so creating objects and all kinds of different things, connecting to sessions. So we will definitely use that a lot in this code sample, and by placing this here, we will make sure that Unity automatically creates this component for us. Then we will need to keep a couple things around. For bookkeeping, this is a pointer to the service component so that we don't query it every time we need to access it. And you will have a game object on which we spawn the remotely rendered object. So let's start with setup in the awake method of the object. Let's put that in here. So very simple, we have the client init parameters. Basically, we create them and tell them which camera we want to render to. We use the main camera because we didn't have any other camera set up in the project. Obviously this allows flexibility, but main camera is fine for this demonstration. We need this information because the Azure Remote Rendering pipeline will inject color depth data into the rendering of that camera so that you can see your remotely rendered object, and remote content will be correctly occluded and can correctly occlude local content. Then we initialize the remote manager with these parameters. Then we simply grab a reference to this rService Unity component, as mentioned before, and we register a callback to the session status changed in the rService component, because it's always good to know what the current session status is. So let's get that actually in so that we have this around. Very simple. So we have a simple callback that gets the service and the session, and we call an async helper method to lock the session state because we need to do some awaiting in there. So you can see the log session status is called with the session object. If the session object is not null, so we have a currently active session, that means it's currently in the starting phase or it's ready to be used, we can get the session properties. That's the async call we need to make here. And then we get the session ID, the status, if we're like starting up, connected, all that stuff, the size of the session, I will talk about this in a second, the host name of the session, so this will be the actual host name your application connects to, and the message, if there's anything. If there's no session, that's likely because we disconnected, so we just go to the rService, query the last properties it saw, and log the session ID with a session ended message. So let's get this log message helper in there as well, so that we get the red squigglies away. Very simple helper, it's just simply so we can log messages simple between errors and not errors. Okay, so we started up remote rendering and registered the callback. Now let's be good citizens and add the code to clean up after us before we add any more features. Very simple, we use the onDestroy of the Unity object, and if we are connected and we have this game object, which we'll come to in a second, we will destroy it, we disconnect from the runtime, we unsubscribe from the callback because we don't want to leak memory, and we shut down remote rendering. Very good. So next thing you think we should do is probably actually start a session. And this is actually pretty simple, so let's get this going. So first we implement a method to start the session. Let's do this here. So it's an async method, start session async, and here comes a very interesting and important part. To connect and create sessions, we need the account key, the account ID, and the account domain. Account key and ID is, if you recall, the things we got from the Azure portal by creating the remote rendering resource. So I will paste my values in here. Again, you should use your own values when you want to follow this tutorial. Okay, so key and ID are in, look good. So the domain is an interesting thing. Azure Remote Rendering is a latency sensitive application for the rendering portion of it, at least. Since images are created in real time on the remote server and streamed to your HoloLens, you should use a data center which is close to you so that you get a good experience. I'm situated in Germany, so I'm using the West Europe domain. At the time of recording, there's also West US, East US, and Southeast Asia support. So you can, for example, write West US here, and then your session will be created in the West US data center. Okay, so with that information correctly filled out, we will initialize the service. We will create the session by simply calling start session on the rService component. And we pass in the session creation parameters. This is again an interesting object. First, we give it the VM size. We have standard and premium VM sizes. The standard VM can render up to 20 million polygons. The premium VM size is unlimited. So for our simple demonstration, the standard VM is fine because the model we want to render has around 18 million polygons. The next parameters are how many hours and minutes you want to have the session created for by default. I'm going with 0 hours and 15 minutes because that's totally enough to show off this simple sample. The great thing is you don't need to know exactly ahead of time how long you want to have the session created for. So you could create a session for 1 hour, for example, and then use our extend session time APIs or even the auto extension session properties in the rService component to have it extended. to your liking. Maximum lease time is 24 hours. And then we just check if the session creation succeeded. And next thing we would do is actually connect to the session and load a model. So let's put in the code for that. Also, nothing crazy. So let's talk about this. First of all, why is connecting to session and creation a session two separate things? Again, as I mentioned, you can create sessions for a long duration, but your app might only be active for a couple minutes or even an hour or more, but you want to reuse a session. Starting a session takes a bit of time, 2 to 3 minutes typically, and connecting to a session is instantaneous because the server is already allocated for you. So my typical workflow would be I create a session for 1 or 2 hours, extended as needed, and then connect multiple times for a quick dev loop iteration to the same session. So we simply go to the service, get the current active session, call the connect to runtime function, and wait for the connection to be done. When we are connected, we call our load model helper. The rest in here is just error handling. So what does it take to load a model? Luckily, not a lot of code. So, load model, very simple. First, we create an entity. An entity is basically the equivalent to a game object on the remote rendering scene graph. Since remote rendering models can be very complex, we don't expose all remote rendering objects automatically as Unity game objects. You can map them on demand, you can map all of them if you want to, but Unity definitely has a certain overhead for each object, and this allows you to be selective and only map the things you need. For example, in this case, we will actually manually create an entity, and then in the next step, get a Unity game object for the remote rendering entity and set it to sync every frame. This means we now have a remote rendering entity with a Unity representation in the Unity scene, which will sync its transform every frame to the server. And this is very nice, because this way we can use this as an anchor for our object in the Unity world. So next step is just setting the transform of the object. So we set the position to 2 meters in front of the main camera. We use that for rendering, as I talked about earlier. We set that so that we face the object. More correct, the object faces us. We set a local scale to unit scale, and then we can start loading the model. So basically what we do is we create this load model from SAS params. This means we're using the blob storage access path and pass in the URL. Usually you would see here some HTTPS URL pointing to some blob storage, but for the sample we use our built-in engine model. You can also use this in your application, it's part of our SDK. So if you just want to see something up and running, just use this URL and it will load you a nice engine model. And now the object we created before actually comes into play. So we set this model entity, which we created here, as the parent object of the newly loaded model. So this way, once the model loading is done, it will be spawned at the position 2 meters in front of us where we placed the parent object. So all that's left is calling load model from SAS async, and we use a progress update callback to know how far the model loading is along. So the only thing left now is actually trigger all of this. So we will get the start method in just after here, which calls start session async. And this way, we will create the session, we will connect to the session, we will load the model, and then the model will show up in the viewport 2 meters in front of us. So let's save that and head over to Unity and actually use this. So this will quickly recompile the scripts. So let's create a new empty object. Let's call this remote rendering and add our remote rendering script to it. So here you can see the service component was automatically added. We have auto renew session, we have auto stop session, all that stuff I mentioned before. And now it should be just hitting play and getting to it. So I hit play. So we already see session, we get a session ID here is starting. So that's good. The service panel here will also display information. So we see the session ID, that we're in starting state. We're not yet connected because we're waiting for the VM to spin up. That may take 2 to 3 minutes usually, since we allocate a fresh VM for you and your models. So let's wait for that. Okay, so we see the session is ready. We already started loading the model, so that's having good progress. Our callbacks work and are connected. We also see the host name, like this will be the actual VM you connect to in this case. And boom, we have our engine up and running. So this is remotely rendered, not on my local machine. And I can show you the scene view, for example. Let's put that next to the game view. So you see, there's definitely no engine in my scene view, but I can take the main camera and move it around. And you see, the remote image updates because the main camera position is also transferred to the server and used for rendering. So now we have a very, very simple sample of how to get Azure Remote Rendering integrated into a Unity project. So thanks for your attention and have a good day.